Where does broadband expansion fit in the infrastructure negotiations? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. Optimists here in Washington, including President Biden, are hoping debate on a $1.2 trillion infrastructure package could start as early as Monday, just before the August recess. Senate Republicans blocked a procedural vote to start that debate this week, pushing for more time to hammer out details. You've got the usual talk of roads and bridges, yes, but broadband access is another key part of the legislation, with a draft showing $65 billion devoted to expanding high-speed internet access across the country. And details are starting to emerge about what form that might take. It's a topic for Quality Assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. John Hendel is a technology reporter at Politico, covering the blow-by-blow.
I mean, this is kind of a wonky DC battle, but it's been about how fast broadband should be. That's been a key part of this from the get-go. The original plans you saw from many Democratic lawmakers would have pushed for very fast speeds, 100 megabits a second, download and upload. This new draft does show slightly more modest goals. Why this matters is, you know, kind of what technology you use to try to fix the digital divide. Many Democrats would like the idea of fiber optic cable lines like laid down there. This would be future proof. This would be good for decades. But that would also mean if you put these benchmarks in, wireless companies, some cable companies, satellite broadband companies like Elon Musk, SpaceX, they might not be able to bid for the money in the same way. So you've seen like an intense lobbying war over that.
Past bills have tackled affordability by giving consumers subsidies through an FCC program. President Biden wants this bill in particular to make more structural changes. So can you talk about what the White House wants in terms of consumer subsidies playing into all of this?
They are looking at this as a competition issue, and they want to find other ways to help with affordability. One option that they've also put out there, they think that there should be like a broadband nutrition label, kind of standardizing the information around like what you pay for your monthly service. Some of those ideas might still be in the mix with the bipartisan package being negotiated now. Nothing like a permanent subsidy of billions of dollars, but things that would help be more transparent about broadband pricing. You know, some version of that, I think, could still be in the mix.
What are still the significant points of disagreement between Republicans and Democrats on broadband?
So I think you're going to see some progressives who might see the compromise deal and say, this doesn't do nearly enough. This doesn't address issues like affordability in the way that it should. It doesn't have a permanent subsidy to help households that might need it. They're going to be pushing for that probably when they see the final result. Meanwhile, I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans who ultimately, despite welcoming broadband help for their constituents, might still think that $65 billion is just too much money for this. This could create waste. This could create duplication. And Republicans have also worried about just kind of coordinating the amount of broadband help that's out there right now. You already have broadband money in some of the pandemic relief packages. You have broadband subsidies at the Department of Agriculture, at the FCC, at the Commerce Department. So I think that those are the notes you're going to keep hearing from the right on some of this. You know, like, how are we going to avoid misspending record-breaking amounts of money that's going out the door?
And while I've got you, and while we're talking about tech and Congress, President Biden this week said he would nominate Jonathan Cantor to lead the Department of Justice's antitrust division. We've been waiting on that appointment. What do we know about his views?
Yeah, Jonathan Cantor is really interesting. He is definitely considered one of the more progressive voices on antitrust issues. There had been a big push to get him at the Department of Justice in this role because of that. And I think it shows that the White House has been really welcoming a broad range of progressive voices in some of these top positions. People have immediately compared him to Lina Khan, who is the new chair of the FTC, where she has been very critical of the bigger companies like Amazon and others. So I think people look at that. I think they look at the fact that President Biden has put Tim Wu on his National Economic Council. So I think Cantor is just continuing that trend, and it's something that people are watching very closely when trying to figure out who President Biden might name to fill some of the other outstanding seats that are out there. He still hasn't named a permanent chair of the FCC, for instance, and there's still some other key posts in the Commerce Department, too, that many people have been waiting on and I think are really curious to see, you know, what the White House might want for that.
And is his confirmation likely, do you think?
You know, I think it's likelier than not, mainly because you've seen Republicans and Democrats kind of share a certain scrutiny on some of these tech antitrust issues in the last year. Not completely. I mean, certainly many Republicans would rather focus on what they would call, you know, bias and censorship from some of these tech platforms, which the platforms have denied. But I think there's enough Republicans who have really been concerned about the size of the companies that you're going to see some of them support Cantor too. I think there'll be questions about what his progressive philosophy might mean. But I think that we've seen bipartisan votes on other past progressive nominees, including Lina Khan. So that bodes well, I think, for him ultimately getting through.
John Hendel is a technology reporter at Politico and writes the Politico Morning Tech newsletter. And now for some related links. John highlighted some of the details in that draft text in his newsletter on Wednesday. We'll have a link at marketplacetech.org. And since we were talking about just how fast high-speed internet should be, the Government Accountability Office put out a report earlier this month arguing the benchmark for minimum speeds isn't fast enough for many small businesses. The Federal Communications Commission sets those benchmarks and hasn't updated them since 2015. Look for that report on our site and a link to an Ars Technica piece digging into the fight over municipal broadband. In March, President Biden proposed money for broadband in an infrastructure deal should prioritize, quote, broadband networks owned, operated by, or affiliated with local governments, nonprofits, and cooperatives. You can imagine private operators were not the least bit interested in having to compete with local governments for business, and Republicans have tried to ban the practice nationwide. That Biden administration priority seems to have disappeared from the current broadband plan, but it's a draft, and negotiations are likely to continue through the weekend. And Axios has a story about a Republican-led effort to make big tech pay for more broadband subsidies. Three Senate Republicans are pushing a bill called the Funding Affordable Internet with Reliable Contributions Act. If you drop the Contributions Act part, you can have the acronym FAIR, and members of Congress do like their acronym legislation. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produce the show. Our engineer is Justin Dueler. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.